Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Jonathan Williams, and you're listening to Word of God Speak. Today, in our new series that I call The Upside Down Kingdom, which is our exploration of the book of James, I'm going to compare the culture of darkness versus the culture of light in three ways. Our message is called The Clash of Cultures. So gather your friends, come close, and listen to the Word of God speak to you. And now our message in the Upside Down Kingdom, The Clash of Cultures. Word of God, speak. In our previous broadcast, we introduced our new teaching series that we're calling The Upside Down Kingdom, using the book of James as our text. Our goal is to work our way through this small letter and examine the different ways to follow Jesus, which are often radically different from the ways of the world in which we live. As you know, we live in a world that does not value the things that God values all the time. What a shame that is. The world is His. He is the one who sets the standards, and yet the world ignores Him to its peril. I want to demonstrate today, again, before we dive into the text, three ways the world does not value God's kingdom. The culture of the world says, "Satisfy me now." Just listen to the commercials for various products. The manufacturers of these products say, "You must have this now. You need this to make your life happy now." I saw this recently where the slogan of a well-known product says, "Live for now." That's the advice for the world and from the world. But is this not a characteristic of children? Children have to have it right now. And if they don't get it, they cry. Part of the job of parenting is to teach children to wait, and in waiting to receive what is the best and to develop character. So the kingdoms of the world say, "Live for now." The culture of the kingdom of God says, "Live for the future. Focus on eternity." One man prayed years ago a prayer that I thought so important that I wrote it down. It went like this: "God, help me to see what matters most. Help me to invest in eternal realities. If I must forego present things for future results, give me the strength to do that. Focus me eternally." James speaks about this in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. And so you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now there's a second way that the world teaches us its values. It teaches us about consuming. People say, or the world says, or our culture says, "I want it bigger. I want it better. I want it brighter. I want it more beautiful." The kingdom of God teaches us that we're not here primarily to consume, but to contribute. And so our prayer needs to be, "Lord, show me where and how I can give and serve today in your name." Listen to James chapter 1 and verse 27. James's famous description of what true religion is. He says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." I love this verse because it presents such a balanced view of what matters to God. You see, some people are very active socially. They love to invest in causes dealing with the injustices of the world, and that's good. We should address injustices. We should seek to meet needs. And James mentions two major ones: widows and orphans. But sometimes people get involved in such causes and they give no thought to their morals. James says that we need to keep ourselves unstained by the world. On the other hand, some people are very careful morally, and they do a good job of keeping themselves unstained from the world. But they're so preoccupied with their personal purity, they never give a thought to meeting the needs of others. James tells us that pure and true religion embraces both private morality and public justice. And that's why he says visiting widows and orphans in their distress. This is indeed the upside-down kingdom. The world says, I am here to consume. But Jesus leads us on a path to contribute to those in need and to develop our character in private. Now, here's the third way that the kingdom of God clashes with the culture of the world. Our world tells us that truth is relative. People say, there's no absolute truth. You have your truth, I have my truth, and we'll just all get along. But a society cannot live that way for long. Eventually, one so-called truth will prevail, and it will usually be the one that has the biggest gun, and it will impose its so-called truth upon all others. But by then, it's too late. The kingdom of God comes and tells us that there is absolute, eternal truth, and it is found in the biblical record and supremely in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Thus, we have this word from the pen of James in chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James tells us to submit to God's word, to the biblical view of truth. He says, humbly accept the word that has been planted in you. Don't live by your so-called truth, your opinion. Learn God's opinion. Learn God's word. Accept it and live by that. And that's what this series is about, following the way of Jesus, following Jesus' kingdom agenda. And so our prayer for every person is to be eternally focused rather than living for the moment, to be a person who gives and serves rather than a person who consumes and consumes and consumes, to be a person who is established in the truth of Jesus Christ and his word rather than just personal opinion. Our prayer is that every aspect of ministry, every group, every life, every family, every church, and every outreach will be an expression of God's kingdom culture. And when we do this, we will become an answer to Jesus' prayer for us in John 17. You know, we like to have answers to our prayers, don't we? Have you ever thought of being an answer to Jesus' prayer? Listen to what Jesus prayed in John 17. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. He said, Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus prayed, don't take them out of the world. Protect them while they are in the world. Sanctify, that is, set them apart by your truth. You see, Jesus wants us to remain in this world, but not to be of the world. This is another way of saying, let your light shine. We Christians have not always done a good job at this. And it's not the easiest thing to do, to live in this world and not be swallowed up by it. Let me share with you some extremes that some have fallen into. First is the extreme of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the end result of something that probably started off good. You see, we get really focused on doing what's right and thinking what is right and being with the right people, and we start growing, and all of this is good, but then we make the fatal mistake of saying, look at me, I'm a pretty good person. Look at them, they aren't. Or as Christians, we can say, boy, we really have it together, don't we, here as a community of Christians? And we forget that we are what we are only by God's mercy and God's grace. And we can start to think that we are better than others when we're really not. Well, another extreme is worldliness. And this is where our goals and our giving, our morals and our speech, our habits, and what excites us is no different than the people around us who are far from God. This is the condition all too often of the church in America today. It's a difficult balance to achieve, to be in the world, but not to be of the world, to be normal and yet different, not weird, but different for Jesus' sake. Sometimes we get a little skewed, a little out of balance, maybe for a while, a little self-righteous, and at other times we may indulge in things that we have no business being involved in, or our attitudes can drift in ways that are not pleasing to the Lord. That's why we have God's Word and one another to help us on the journey. And so as we grow, we find that we are spending less time on the edges of these extremes and more time in the middle, living a normal life in the world and yet not being of the world, but being a light. It takes time to learn how to do this. Let me close today by whetting your appetite some more for this book. Let me give you a highlight or a preview from each chapter. A chapter 1 highlight is James 1:17. He says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Isn't that a beautiful verse? I can't wait to explore that with you about the goodness of God and His good gifts to us. Here's a chapter 2 highlight. It's from verses 14 through 16, and James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but he doesn't have any deeds? Can that kind of faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and be well fed,' but he does nothing about the physical needs, what good is that?" It's a great challenge to show our faith with our lives, is it not? Here's a chapter 3 highlight, and this deals with the power of our speech, which can be an instrument for good or a destructive force of evil. This is James 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is set on fire by hell itself." Wow, aren't those powerful words? Here's a chapter 4 highlight, and this is about wars that are caused, external wars that are caused by internal wars. Listen to verse 1. James says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Very good words there, are they not? If only the world would heed this, we would see war cease, swords beaten into plowshares, and spears into pruning hooks, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And last, a highlight from chapter 5 that pertains to the power of prayer. James 5:16 famously says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." I can hardly wait to get into those things with you. Now, we have one more preliminary task to achieve. We want to learn about the author of this book, and some surprises await some of you when we investigate this. We're going to look at that in our next message about the person who wrote this book, James. And I hope that you will be there and join us for it. Hello again, everyone. This is Dr. Jonathan Williams, and I hope that you enjoy today's message, The Clash of Cultures. And I hope that you will take it to heart about what I said about living for the kingdom of God. Please check out our website, where you will find many resources to help you in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That website address is wgsministries.org, and we hope that you will take advantage of these resources. It's always nice to hear from you, so let us know how our programs bless your life, and we hope that you will tell others to listen. Now, our mailing address is P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas 78209 in the United States, and you can always email us at info@wgsministries.org. Well, thanks again for listening. Thanks again for joining. And remember that though we live in a world filled with the words of men, we live also in a world where God has spoken. And it's time for the world to hear the Word of God. Word of God, speak.